Let's open our Bibles together to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Pastor's in New Jersey this morning, and Brother Dale was originally going to bring the Sunday school message this morning. As you know, he's not going to be able to make it, so I'm as disappointed as you are. but let's look at this passage of Scripture together this morning. We're going to look at one verse of Scripture from 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. This is a familiar passage. We've heard this on many occasions, but I feel led to teach from it again this morning. Paul speaking to Timothy, he says this. He says, From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I hope we can see three things from this passage of Scripture this morning. Three things. One, the need for a reverence. The scriptures. These are the holy scriptures. Paul speaking to Timothy said, these are the holy scriptures. Second, the importance of knowing the scriptures. He said, you've known the holy scriptures. And then third, these scriptures, these holy scriptures. He says, they're able to make thee wise unto salvation. I pray the Lord would enable us to see these three things this morning. First, the reverence for the Scriptures. Our pastor, he put in the bulletin last week an article by Milton Howard. And I thought about this, and I thought this goes right along with what I'm trying to say this morning. I want to read this. He said, I believe our thoughts of God are reflected in every part of our worship service. What part will the preaching of God have in the service? Will the truth of Christ and His saving work be the message? Are the hymns we sing such that glorify God? Are the words true to the Scripture? Are we faithful to join with God's people? Do we come on time? If late, do we come in quietly? Do we dress appropriately? He said, we don't want to set rules or say anything that would keep people from coming to hear the gospel. But we live in a time when everyone wants to be casual. But there's nothing casual. Nothing casual about the worship of Almighty God. These are the Holy Scriptures. When God's word's being read, we don't want to be disrupted. We don't want to do anything that would take the attention off of the Holy Scriptures. And there's an honor for God's Word. You know, it's through God's Word that God is pleased to speak to His people. Turn over to Nehemiah chapter 8. Look at these first three verses of Nehemiah chapter 8. Here in verse 1 we read, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe, and they said, bring the book, bring God's word. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe, bring the book of the law of Moses which the Lord commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, on the first day of the seventh month, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive. They listened to what was being read. They listened to God's Word. It's worthy of our attention. It's worthy of our reverence. And a side note there, that a reverence for God's Word, but there's also a reverence for those who preach God's Word, who bring the message, who faithfully declare God's Word. We read in 1 Timothy 5, verse 17, Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in doctrine, in the Word and in doctrine. Our pastor, he's faithful to preach God's Word. He's worthy. He's worthy of our honor and our respect. Well, our text reads this: Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. The Scriptures, God's Word, is holy. It's set apart. It's a book like no other. 1 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture, it's inspired by God. It's God breathed. Consider this, the Bible. 66 books written over a period of 1,500 years by 40 different authors, most of whom never even met each other or consulted with each other on what they were writing, written in three different languages on three different continents, and yet all the Scriptures agree. Isn't that just incredible to think about that? And listen, the Scriptures tell the same story. They tell of the creation, the fall, and the redemption of God's people. How is that possible? I bet three of us could sit down and talk about something for an hour and we couldn't write down the same thing. Yet God's Word, this is God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. God's Word, He wrote it. That's how that's possible. He wrote it. He laid it on the hearts of these men what to write, what to put down in pencil and paper. Or I guess maybe they wrote on stone, but they wrote the same thing. They're all in agreement. He spoke them. The Scriptures, they're the holy Scriptures. We're not to add to them. We're not to add to them, and we're not to take away from them. Look at a few passages of Scripture. Turn over to Revelation. Revelation 22. Revelation 22, beginning with verse 18. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. We're not to add to it. We're not to take away from it. Look back in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. See an example of this. Genesis 3, verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, now this is Eve speaking, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Eve just added a couple words there, didn't she? Is that what God said? If we look back in chapter 2, he said, don't eat it. And then Satan, look what he says here in verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Just one word. Not. I said, don't add to it. And don't take away from it. Some time ago, me and Abby were Christmas shopping. She was shopping. I was just wandering around the store, but I saw this coffee mug. I picked it up, and on it had this inscribed on it. It said, I can do all things through him that gives me the strength. You picked up on that, didn't you, Earl? I picked up on him. You know, that leaves a whole lot of open for translation, doesn't it? I can do all things through him. Him could be any number of people, couldn't it? God's word, it says this, I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. Big difference, isn't there? Big difference. You know, I don't know what translation of the Bible that was. It really doesn't matter. I know it wasn't the King James Version because it speaks Christ. Christ. And each time these new translations, I bet a new translation comes out every month. Every time it's watered down more and more and more. They're easy to read. They're easy to, sometimes we use them to study. My friends, there's no room for a Bible that does not speak of Christ. It takes Christ out of the scriptures. I just say that as a word of caution. The Holy Scriptures, there's a reverence for them. They speak of God. They speak of our Savior. Second, the importance of knowing the Scriptures. Our text says this, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Now that word know, it means to be aware of something. It means to develop a relationship through meeting and spending time. You younger ones, us older ones can identify this. At some time you found someone that caught your eye, and maybe you got their phone number, or maybe you met, but you spent time with them. You got to know them, okay? God's Word, if we're going to get to know God's Word, we're going to have to spend time in reading, in studying, in hearing God's Word preached, attending the worship service. Consider this. Consider a couple of scriptures here. 2 Timothy 2:15, study. I'll just read. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to spend time in God's Word, reading God's Word, studying His Word, hearing His Word preached, being attentive to the Word. And listen, when we don't understand, when there are things we don't understand, and that's commonly the case, we need to ask. We need to ask. You young people, ask your parents. We have things we don't, we ask our pastor, or we go to God in prayer and ask Him, give us understanding. Show us, isn't that what Moses prayed? Show me thy way. Make it plain to me. Turn to Exodus 12. Is it okay to ask? Look at verse 26. Speaking to the children of Israel, he said, it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean you by this? What's this mean? See that they ask. And then look at Acts chapter 8. That's a child asking. Look at Acts chapter 8. Look at beginning with verse 27 of Acts chapter 8. And Philip arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch. Here's a man of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for the worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. When the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself into this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I? How can I understand these things except some man guide me? He desired Philip that he would come up with him. You know the rest of that scripture. Philip joined him in the chariot and he started that same scripture. And he preached unto him the Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures, they're holy. They're the holy scriptures. We need to have a reverence for them. Second, the importance of knowing these scriptures. And then third, these scriptures we read are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Our text, able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. These scriptures, they testify, they speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures, they testify of our sinfulness and our inability. Look at Psalm 53. Beginning with verse 2, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand. Were there any that sought after God? Verse 3, every one of them, every last one of them is gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Not one. These scriptures, they declare our sinfulness and our inability. They declare Christ's blood, the efficacy of Christ's blood. Over in 1 John, we read, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. The Holy Scriptures. Not some of our sin, not most of our sin, but all sin. All right? Listen to a few more scriptures. I won't have you turn, but listen here. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We read of his own will, but yet he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his. The Holy Spirit, this word, the Holy Spirit uses this word to convince us of sin, to reveal Christ's person and work, and to beget life in a sinner through the word, through the word. When Adam took that fruit, God said, in the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam took that fruit. Death passed upon all men. And when God's pleased to save a sinner, that sin that separated us from God, but when God's pleased to save a sinner, the scriptures declare this, when a man's redeemed, when he's brought back to God, the Spirit of God life itself is placed within us by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God dwells within us. We read of Christ in you. Christ can't explain that, but I can declare it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, and true wisdom and salvation is in a spiritual knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that comes from the Scriptures. It's more than just knowing about God or knowing that there is a God. It's to know. It's to know Jesus Christ. It's to know Him. It's to know Almighty God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. Turn with me to another scripture, Luke 24. Luke 24. Beginning with verse 44 of Luke 24. And He said unto them, these are the words. These holy scriptures. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. All things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. These scriptures declare the Lord Jesus Christ. Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. You have, listen, you've heard these things. You've seen these things. These things have been revealed unto you. And they all, back there in verse 44, they're all concerning Him. They're all concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Scriptures, a reverence for the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures, the importance of knowing them. The Holy Scriptures, that which is able to make you wise unto salvation. I said 3 points, didn't I? But here's a fourth. Here's a fourth. Look at Ephesians 6, verse 4. This message was originally purposed for my Sunday school class, but something to consider. Just something to consider. The teaching of God's Word. Our pastor is faithful to teach the Word. These that teach our Sunday school classes, they're faithful to teach God's Word. But that's not their sole responsibility. We all have some part in teaching the Scriptures. Especially those of us with children. Listen here, look at Ephesians 6, verse 4. He says, ye fathers, here's a word for fathers. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture. That word means instruction. Bring them up in the nurture. Bring them up in the instruction and the admonition. That word admonition means to call attention to. Call attention to. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Turn back to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1. Beginning with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, Timothy. My dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers, with pure conscience, that without ceasing I've remembered thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee and being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Look at verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, the sincere faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded it's in you also. I wonder how many times Timothy wanted to maybe stay up late on a Saturday night, and Eunice told him, "No, Timothy, going to the worship service tomorrow. You're going to have to get to bed early." How many times he maybe, but mom, how many times Paul said, "That faith I see in you, that faith I seen in your mother, that faith I seen in your grandmother." How many times did mom or grandma have to send Timothy back to get a shirt that matched his pants, or wrestled him to the worship service? But she said, "You see that? When I call to remembrance the sincere faith that's in thee, dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded in thee also." Turn with me to one more scripture, and we'll quit. Turn back to Deuteronomy 6. This thing doesn't require a doctor of divinity. You don't have to be a John Gill. Look in verse. Look in verse 2. Actually, verse 1. "These are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it. Fear the Lord." See that in verse 2? "That thou mightest fear the Lord. Keep his commandments, his statutes, which I command thee, and thy son and thy son's sons all thy life, all the days of thy life, that days may be prolonged." Look at verse 3. "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee." Hear the word of the Lord. Look at verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, fearing, hearing, love him. And the words which I command thee," verse 6, "shall be in thy heart." It's hard work. Look at verse 7. "Thou shalt teach them diligently." "Thou shalt teach thy children diligently. Unto thy children shalt thou talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Teach them at all times." He says, teach your children. And he says, if you look back there, teach them diligently. That means to hone or sharpen. Take a stone and sharpen that knife. Any of you have had a pocket knife for any time at all, you know it gets dull. Sometimes it gets dull pretty quick. And you got to go back, sharpen that knife again. It gets dull, go back and sharpen it again. Teach them diligently. This isn't a one-stop shop. They got to hear it over and over, just like we do. You got to hear it over and over and over again. And he says, you teach them. Talk about them when you sit in the house. Talk about them when you walk by the way. How much of God's creation declares his glory that we see every day? Teach them when you lie down. Teach them when you rise up in the morning. Teach them at all times. Turn back to 2 Timothy. From a child. Verse 15. From a child. Thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I pray God will be pleased to bless this. I pray that it be good instruction for all of us.